our Lord and Savior. Amen. Several years ago, I was reading a devotion based on Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. I recall the following point from that devotion. The point was, the problem with us sinners is not that we want too much from God. The problem is that we want too little. We want too little. Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 14, where we read about Jesus' miraculous feeding of over 5,000 people. Now, even though we were not there to witness this miracle, Jesus obviously wants us to learn something from this event because the Holy Spirit moved Matthew to record the details in Holy Scripture. Sadly, though, some have twisted the meaning of this event as it is recorded in Holy Scripture. For example, one interpretation is that of liberal theology. Liberal theology that denies that Jesus did any miracles at all because they question if he was even God. Well, according to liberal theology, how do they interpret this feeding of the 5,000 event? Well, what they say is that Jesus simply encouraged the crowds to share their food with each other. In other words, those who had more than enough food shared their lunches with those who had none. However, this liberal interpretation of this event is wrong for two reasons. First, the text clearly says that the only food available for the 5,000 plus people was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Nothing is said about certain people in the crowds having more than enough food. In fact, that's why the disciples suggested to Jesus that he needed to send them back to the villages to buy some. Now, the second reason that the liberal reading of this text is wrong is that it turns Jesus into nothing more than a moral teacher who encourages us to share our food with those in need. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. In fact, I think sharing food with the poor is wonderful. We're even having a speaker come here in a couple weeks talking about an organization called Food for the Poor. Helping people who are hungry, that's a wonderful thing. But that's not what this text is primarily about. Instead, as we will see, this text is trying to teach us that Jesus is more than a moral teacher, and we sinners, well, we're in need of far more than teaching about morality. With that said, there's yet another interpretation of this event that goes astray. Now, this interpretation at least has the credibility of acknowledging that Jesus performed a legitimate miracle here. Sadly, though, this interpretation focuses only on the miracle itself and nothing more. You see, some are tempted to see Jesus as nothing more than a miracle worker who exists to meet our physical needs by giving us food and health and other luxuries. And he will give it to you too, they say, as long as you believe that he can. However, the problem with this interpretation of the text is that it fails to see that we sinners have greater needs than food and health and other luxuries. This interpretation also fails to see that Jesus wants us to recognize that he is more than just a miracle worker who fills our stomachs or our wallets. As we heard in our reading from John chapter 6, Jesus actually rebuked the crowds who ran after him, looking for only a repeat of his food distribution miracle. Jesus rebukes them for not understanding that he wants to give them something more important than physical food. Well, so far we've learned how not to interpret this gospel reading about Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. Now we will learn what Jesus does want us to learn from this event. However, in order to understand what this reading means for our lives today, today, we have to see how today's gospel reading fits into the larger context of Matthew's gospel. For example, our reading is from the middle section of Matthew chapter 14. But the beginning of that chapter starts with these words. Now when Jesus heard about this. Well, heard about what? Well, the very beginning of Matthew 14 says, at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Did you hear that? You see, at this point in Jesus' ministry, Herod had already executed John the Baptist. However, as Jesus continues to work miracles, and as Herod's conscience begins to bother him, well, a rumor gets started that Jesus is actually John the Baptist risen from the dead. And that supposedly explains why Jesus is able to work miracles. As a result of this rumor, the crowds start running after Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Therefore, according to our gospel reading, what does Jesus do? He withdraws to a desolate place. But the crowds follow him anyway, even though they have followed Jesus into some very inhospitable land. I mean, imagine a hot summer day in North Dakota and walking out into the middle of the Badlands with no food and no water. Not very smart. However, when Jesus sees them coming to him, even though they have all the wrong motives, Jesus still has compassion on them, and he begins to heal the sick among them. Well, after a few hours of this, Jesus' disciples come to him with a problem. They explain that it's getting late and the people have no food, obviously. So they ask Jesus to send them back to the villages so they can buy some food there. And then Jesus says these shocking words. You give them something to eat. Can you imagine them standing there with their mouths open? They say, Jesus, all we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Under their breath, they're saying, this isn't even enough for us, much less these crowds. Well, what's Jesus doing here? Jesus is asking them to do the impossible. Impossible for them, anyway. You see, Jesus is teaching them to come to him with all their needs, especially those needs that are impossible for us to meet for ourselves. Jesus then says, bring them to me, referring to the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus then does what is impossible for us. He multiplies 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough food to feed over 5,000 people with 12 baskets full of food left over. Now, this miracle shouldn't surprise us if we believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I mean, such a miracle is not too hard for the Son of God who created the world out of nothing in the first place. Now, with all that said, what are we to learn from this miracle? Simply put, Jesus is teaching us 2 things. First, Jesus really does care about our physical needs. That's why Jesus had compassion on them. He healed their sick. He fed them. That's why God continues to provide for us, giving us food, giving us health, healing us when it's his will. He does care about our physical needs. However, the second thing we learn from this miracle is that Jesus is who he claimed to be, the very Son of God who came into the world to do more for us than merely meet our physical needs. You see, as we examine this miracle in the wider context of Matthew's gospel, it becomes clear that Jesus wants us to see that we need forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God far more than the physical needs we have. But sadly, many in Jesus' day wanted too little from him. Some wanted him to provide them with food, but nothing more. I mean, if Jesus could perform his food distribution miracle on a daily basis, they wouldn't have to go to Hugo's or County Market ever again. Others wanted Jesus to heal their physical illnesses, but nothing more. Now, of course, that's understandable in a culture devoid of the kind of medical care that we have today, but again, they wanted too little from Jesus. Finally, still others wanted Jesus to use his miraculous powers to destroy the Roman Empire and give faithful Jews a nation of their own. But that's all they wanted from him. Yes, all these people wanted far too little from Jesus. They failed to see what they truly needed from him. However, we dare not stand in condemnation of these people because many times we're no better. I mean, even though most people in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod don't buy into the liberal nonsense that Jesus wasn't God and that he only encouraged some people to share their food with others, even though we don't buy into that, nevertheless, we're sometimes tempted to view Jesus as nothing more than a miracle worker. I mean, we want Jesus to solve our financial problems. We want Jesus to heal our illnesses. We want Jesus to save us from our enemies. Now, please understand, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for such things. It's not wrong for us to come to God with our various physical needs. In fact, Jesus himself teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." But the same Jesus also teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our sins." You see, our greatest need is not food, health, or protection from our enemies, as important as those things are. Our greatest need is to see the seriousness of our sin against God and recognize that we need salvation from death and eternal damnation. But sadly, especially in America, we're tempted to focus on our physical needs over and above our need for repentance and the forgiveness of sins. For instance, in Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees rebuked Jesus because his disciples failed to ritually wash their hands before they ate. You want to hear what Jesus says to them? He says, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth and from the heart, these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." We too are guilty of being like the Pharisees. We sometimes focus on the outward physical needs to the exclusion of seeing our need to be rescued from our own sin, the sin lurking in our hearts, the sin in our hearts that leads to various evil outward behaviors. We need to remember that we can have huge amounts of health and wealth and popularity and power. We can have everything the world offers, but if we don't recognize our sin and our need for Jesus, we have no hope. On the other hand, I think of some people, some Christians in third world countries. They're hungry, they're sick, they're homeless, they're persecuted. But they live in repentant faith. They trust in Jesus for something much more important. And as a result, they have a hope that can never be taken away. We in America can have that same hope if we realize that we need more from Jesus. That's why Isaiah writes these words in our Old Testament reading. He says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live." In our reading from John chapter 6, Jesus speaks to people who had benefited from Jesus' feeding miracle. Now they're chasing after him because they want more of the same, and that's it. In other words, they want too little from Jesus. So Jesus says to them, and us, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." In closing, I want you to be sure that you understand that I'm not saying it's wrong to come to God with our physical needs. He does have compassion on our physical needs. That's why he takes care of us so well, even though we take it for granted. So it's not wrong to come to God with our physical needs. But what our reading today is teaching us is that the same God who so mercifully provides for our physical needs, he desperately wants us to see that we need something from him that is far more important. God wants to rescue us from the evil delusion of wanting too little from Jesus. You see, Jesus came into this world to give us something far more important than food for our bodies or money for our bank account. Jesus came into this world to rescue us from our own rebellion against God, that we might be reconciled to him and live now and forever as his dearly loved children. Jesus has gathered you here today to feed you with his words of forgiveness and eternal life. Today, Jesus feeds you with his very body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. So, do you want more from Jesus? Do you want the forgiveness of sin and new life with God that will last forever? Jesus is here to give it to you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise. We now sing the offertory on